Welcome to Blessings from Beulah Street, this weekly program of timeless Southern gospel music and a thoughtful message is brought to you by the Mount Calvary Community Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Along the way, we trust you'll find hope, forgiveness, and resurrection in the music and the message. Here are some special friends of Mount Calvary, the Dixie Echoes, with I Am the Man on Blessings from Beulah Street. The Dixie Echoes, and we'll follow that toe tapper with The Best of Both Worlds from The Proclaimers.
Sometimes I start to wonder if I've been too blessed. The Lord has been so good to me. I've got clothes on my back, plenty of food on my table.
I'm satisfied.
I'm satisfied. I've got all that I need, and if that wasn't enough, the Lord has said there would be a brand new home awaiting me on high. So if I leave or I stay, I've got it good either way, down here or in the by and by.
I've got the best.
I've got the best of both worlds.
I've got the best.
I've got the best of both worlds.
I'm saved.
I'm saved, forgiven. I've got a good home here and a better one in heaven. I can't imagine more, but there's so much in store waiting just gates of pearl. I guess you could say I've got it good either way. I've got the best of both worlds.
I wake up every morning and I pinch myself.
My life is just too good to be true.
When I trusted the Lord, I knew He'd be my provider.
But He's done more.
He's done much more than I dreamed He would do. And if I start to believe this is as good as it gets, I read about a far better place, where I'm gonna go, where milk and honey flow.
Now, brother,
that'll put a smile on your face.
I've got the best of both worlds.
I've got the best.
I've got the best of both worlds.
I'm saved.
I'm saved.
Just
I'm Roger Wallace, and you're listening to Blessings from Beulah Street on WFAX, Christian Radio for the nation's capital. Up next, Mount Calvary's Pastor Matt Lanham with a favorite old hymn, followed by this week's message.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mountain, where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. And sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives the song in the night season and all the day long.
That song and the words of that song go right along with this message. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Charlie preached on children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. And as I was looking at that message, my eyes went back a page or two and to some of the events that were leading up to that. And that's what I want to speak on this morning. And I'm sure it's familiar passage and familiar scripture to you. The book of Exodus, chapter 13. Exodus 13, I'll start in verse 17. It says, "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them along the road to the land of the Philistines, even though it was nearby. For God said, 'The people will change their minds and return to Egypt if they face war.' So he led the people along around toward the Red Sea, along the road of the wilderness, and the Israelites left the land of Egypt in battle formation. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear a solemn oath saying, 'God will certainly come to your aid. Then you must take my bones with you from this place.' And they set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to lead them on their way during the night, and in a pillar of fire to give them light at night so that they could travel day or night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left its place in front of the people." Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for an opportunity to be in this place this morning and for the next few minutes to look into your word and receive the message that you would have for us for this time. I pray that you'd speak through me, that my words would not be mine, but that they would be yours. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you and with you for the next few minutes about following the Lord. As that song said, God leads us along. And as the passage that we just read said, God led his children, the Israelites, along in these passages. I'm reminded of a passage from the book of Matthew when Jesus was calling his disciples and he simply said to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And it's an important part of our relationship with the Lord. Jesus wants you to know that he is calling you. And more importantly, to know that he is leading you. The question is, are you going to follow? Are you going to follow him? And the problem today is that many Christians will find themselves and ourselves in one of four categories. You either think that you know where you're going, but in fact, you're not really certain of it. Or maybe you've been a Christian so long that you think that I've been everywhere that I can possibly go, and I've done everything that I possibly can do for the Lord. There's nothing left for me to do. Some younger Christians, some new to the faith, might be in a different boat altogether. They might just simply be overly concerned and worried about making the wrong decision and the wrong turn. They're convinced that if they miss hearing God's voice and they miss following him, that they'll be punished for doing so foolishly. And still others, if you remember that old movie, The Wizard of Oz, they're kind of like Dorothy. They're following along that yellow brick road, and they think that if they follow every single brick of that yellow brick road just right, and they hope that someday they'll find God. Maybe someday they'll know what it truly means to follow the Lord. Maybe you fit in one of those four categories this morning. As we've seen in this passage, and as we can see time and time again, if we were to just simply go through the pages of this book, we'll see not only has God called us to serve him, but he's leading right in front of us, calling us to follow him. Perhaps there's some of you who aren't even concerned this morning where you're going, or the fact of the matter is you're not even concerned about following at all. In the next few minutes, I want to make sure that we're all going to walk and follow safely for what God has called us to do. I'd like to remind us that we're all in this together. We're all, as we sing almost every single Sunday morning, we're all part of the family of God, and there shouldn't be any stragglers left behind. We're all here today for God and for one another. In Exodus 13, in the passage that we just read, we see that God has led the children of Israel exactly to where he wanted them to be. It's important because I believe that God is constantly leading both you and I, both day and night, just as he led the children of Israel. And I think God wants you and I to know exactly where it is he wants us to be and where he is taking us. This morning we have a specific place with God where he wants to find us, not just anywhere, but in his perfect presence. We can find the model of just how he'll do this just from this story, not just from this passage, but if you go back a little bit further in the book of Exodus, in chapters 5 and 6, we see that Moses confronts Pharaoh with the word of the promise from God, and God spoke to Moses there and said, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you. Moving on a little bit further, in chapter 6 and 7, Moses confronts Pharaoh with miracles. And the purpose, at least what we can find, of Moses doing this, of performing these miracles in front of Pharaoh, is so Pharaoh would say, well, surely your God has sent you, and I need to listen to you and listen to the message that you're trying to say. But of course, we see there again in those passages, in Exodus, we see, and I will, God speaks and says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and I will multiply my signs and my wonders. And of course, moving on in chapters 7 through 11, we find those 10 plagues that were sent to Pharaoh to try to convince him to let God's people go. In chapter 12 and 13, Israel is redeemed by the blood sacrifice through the Passover, and God spoke redemption and said, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. To this day, this is how God still redeems his people, through the blood. Just as that song that I sang a few minutes ago. God's leading us along. Sometimes it's through the water. Sometimes it's through the flood. As that song says, sometimes it's even through the fire. But all come through the blood. There was a word of promise. That word was Jesus. And of course, we see that after those 10 plagues, that Pharaoh finally says, okay, you can leave. And of course, as we heard a couple weeks ago, Pharaoh changes his mind and comes after the children of Israel. And those of you that were here a couple weeks ago, and those of you, as you said, watched the movie, know the end of that story. God redeemed his people. God saved his people. But we see here in this passage, and I think it's interesting to point out that God didn't just take his children out of bondage to throw them into the wilderness to wander around, although that is what happened. For 40 years, they wandered the wilderness just because they doubted that God would do what he told them he was going to do. But he didn't leave them alone. Even in those years of wandering the wilderness, he was still guiding them. He was still leading them. And I love this passage when it starts out and it says, if you go from Egypt to the land of promise that God had promised to give the nation of Israel, the most direct route is right around 100 miles, 100 to 150 miles. While it doesn't seem like that far, of course, on foot with hundreds of thousands at this time, almost a million or more people wandering around with everything else that goes along with them to support them, it probably would have taken a little bit of time, but still yet it wasn't that far of a journey. And yet we see here that God had a plan all along. Because if you take that most direct route, it leads, as our passage said, right through the land of the Philistines. And God said, because he knew the attitude that the Israelites had, that if they had to face the enemy, if they had to face conflict, that they'd just turn around. And of course we see, in just a few verses and a few moments later, as they're standing on the banks of the Red Sea, they start complaining, even though God had told them he was going to redeem them, that he had pulled them out of bondage to take them to the land that he'd promised them. They said, Moses, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? And so even before the journey had started, we see that God tells them through Moses, I'm not going to take you this way, because if we have to go through this way, even though I promise you I'm going to get you through it, it's going to be too much for the people to handle. It's going to be too much. And they're going to say, let's just turn around. Let's give up. Let's go home, back to Egypt, back to bondage. And I'm sure Pharaoh at that point, if they had come back before they'd even started on this journey, that he probably would have made their lives even more difficult than what it had been before. I'm not going to ask you this question, but think to yourselves this morning, have you ever done anything foolish in your life? I would suggest that when we've done foolish things, and of course, most of the time when we do something foolish, we later regret it, that we should know, even in those times when we're going our own way, because if you go on with the story of the Israelites, like I said, he redeems them, he saves them from Pharaoh and his army at the Red Sea, and then he continues to lead them on. And you would think, at least I would think, I would like to think, that if I were in this group of people wandering around, that especially after seeing all of the things that had happened already, that I would at least have the sense to say, you know, God has brought us this far, and he's promised he's going to get us on to the promised land. He's promised he's going to get us to the other side. I would like to think that I would believe that promise. But of course, we see that that's not the case. And of course, by their decision, as I mentioned earlier, because of their lack of faith and because of their doubts in God's promise, they're caused to wander around the wilderness for another 40 years. And they make so many mistakes. They do so many things foolishly. And yet, we see that cloud during the day and that pillar of fire by night, that was literally God's presence with them, never left. Even in the times when they were completely foolish and doing their own thing, they weren't following the cloud. They weren't following the pillar of fire. But God was still with them. And God was standing there ready for them to say, let's turn back. We've messed up. We've gone our own way. We've ignored God's leading in front of us. And we've followed our own path. It's time to turn back and follow God. One of the great things about this cloud and this pillar of fire that we can see, it was big enough that literally everyone in the crowd could see. Like I said, this wasn't just a small group that was moving. This was an entire nation worth of people that was moving to the land that God had promised them. And it was something so simple. Moses could simply tell them, if you wander out on your own and you get lost, just look for the cloud. Look for the pillar of fire. So many times in our own lives. And even as we heard this morning during our prayer request time, praying for our country, praying for our nation, praying for God's people to follow God, to turn back, to follow God. So many times in our own lives and in churches today, we block out that view of God in front of us. He's still wanting to lead us today, just as he was leading the Israelites through the wilderness with the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. He is still right in front of us, wanting to lead us, wanting us simply to turn our eyes onto him, to look to him to lead us, and to have the faith to say he's promised to get us through to the other side. He's promised to get us exactly where he wants us. Let's just trust in that promise. With each new day, we need to know where he leads. We need to know why he leads. Of course, we can see later on in the book of Psalms, the pillar of cloud represented the presence of the living God for the children of Israel. We should know that his presence still goes before us today. In Psalm 121, we see the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This wilderness that the children of Israel were going through wasn't a paved highway for them to follow. There were no signs along the road saying, "Promised land's this way. Go this way." They couldn't just go on their own and get to where God wanted them. They had to follow God. We're all being led by God to new places as all part of his plan. The question is, are you going to listen to his leading? Are you going to follow his leading? One of the other interesting things about this, you kind of had to put yourself in the mindset of one of the Israelites. Here they had, many of them, all of them, had spent their entire lives in slavery and bondage and had not known freedom on their own. And God did just what he said he was going to do. And it took a little bit of time to get there with the plagues and the signs and all the other things. And of course, then getting to the Red Sea and all of the many signs and wonders up until that point. But then when Moses would tell them, "Hey, God is with us. Look at the cloud that's leading us. Look at the pillar of fire by night." Of course, the path that they were going was in the wilderness. And so not only was God leading them, but he was protecting them as well. And I'll close with this. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul writes about that time in the history of the children in the nation of Israel. He says in chapter 10, "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, and they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." We have confidence this morning in knowing that where he leads us, he'll protect us as well. I don't know if you've ever been in a desert area before, but during the day, there's not a whole lot of places to go for shelter. But how beautiful of an image it is that God's physical presence with the children of Israel at that time was a cloud to provide shade to his people from everything that was going on around them. And then by night, it was a pillar of fire, not only to provide light, but also warmth, because even at night in the desert, the temperatures drop so drastically. And so even in those times, not only was God with them, not only was God leading them, but he was protecting them as well. He was preserving them because he had promised to get them to the other side if they would only just follow. Because there again, if they went off on their own way, and they went off on their own path, and they weren't following God, they wouldn't have that protection, because they wouldn't have the shade by day and the light and the warmth by night. I don't know where God's leading you this morning. I don't know what God is telling you to do. That's between you and God. The question this morning is, are you following? Are you listening? Are you willing to say, "Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. Wherever you tell me to go, I'll go. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do." Wherever you're at in your spiritual walk, whether you are brand new to the faith, whether you've been a Christian for most of your life, and you think, Maybe you're at a point where you think, like I said, starting out, there's not really anything left for me to do except just sit here and do nothing. God wants to use you. God wants to lead you. God wants you to follow him because he has great and mighty plans for each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you for this day. Most of all, I thank you that you've promised to never leave us. You've promised never to forsake us. You told us that you would be with us even until the end of the age. I'm thankful this morning that you have a plan for each and every one of us. And even when we're going through a valley, when we're going through a storm, when the floods are raging all around us, or when it just seems like we're all alone, you're still right there with us. You're still willing to lead us if we will simply trust and follow you. Lord, whatever the decision that needs to be made this morning by those that are here, I pray that you would just move on our hearts this morning. If it's simply to just renew our strength and renew our faith in you, to allow us to say, God, wherever you lead, I'll go. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. If there's one here that's never stepped out to say, I want to join that family. I want to accept that gift of salvation because I'm tired of wandering around on my own. I'm so lost, wandering in the wilderness, and I need that strength. I need that guidance in my life. I pray that they would do that today before it's too late. Help us and give us the strength to continue to serve you until your return. We pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us on Blessings from Beulah Street. If you have a prayer request or if you'd like more information about Mount Calvary Community Church, please call us at 703-971-0165. We'd love to hear from you. Mount Calvary Community Church is located at 6731 Beulah Street in Alexandria, Virginia. You can find live webcasts of our Sunday services on Facebook and find us online at www.mountcalvary.cc. You can hear replays of this and other Blessings from Beulah Street programs by going to blessingsfrombeulahstreet.com. Click on the Listen button. Now, on behalf of Senior Pastor Charlie Wood, Associate Pastor Matt Lanham, and everyone at Mount Calvary Community Church, I'm Roger Wallace. Thanks for listening.